Hello, true believers. Today's episode, we're going to have a very special guest. And as I said, this season, we are going to be doing lots of guests, lots of changes, lots of different things. So today's episode is probably the most different that you can expect. And on this episode, in this introduction, I'm going to tell you who she is. So in the guest we have today is my mom. She used to go by the name Eileen Gould before she married my dad. And back in the day when she was at the ripe old age of 13 years old, she was chosen to sing in bands. And as my brother and I were growing up, we'd heard stories about it. I mean, we'd see the odd clipping that someone, you know, had saved in an album or something, you know, with an old picture of my mom singing on a stage. My Uncle Paul on the stage on the keyboards, or my Uncle Junior on guitar. And we'd seen pictures like this, and we'd heard people talk about those days, and we didn't really know much other than people always talked about how great my mom sang, and that sort of thing. So it was really, it was kind of an interesting time growing up to hear, you know, these stories, but they're always patchy. Like, we never really got the details of anything. We never really understood the volume of what this was and how important this was and the impact my mom had on a lot of people's lives as a singer and performer in those days. So her career spanned roughly, her initial career as a musician spanned roughly from the age 13 to I think about 22. Probably about right, maybe even a little bit later. And basically she kind of did that for a while, and then it was time to have kids, get married, all that sort of stuff, and she kind of put the career on the back burner. She did have a couple of other stints in music. One in the, I'm going to say the 80s, I think it was. And she had another group she was with, but it was only for a year. But I just remember them playing an awful lot and practicing a lot and getting up to snuff. And my mom had to learn new skills at that point to be in that band. So today's conversation is really... And then there was another stint where she was in another band yet again. So she's been in about four bands, or maybe five. But what today's episode is going to cover is kind of that span from her getting into the business and, you know, how it went and how popular things were and the TVs, a couple of TV shows she was on, and kind of how that worked and some of the reasons she decided to kind of get out of it. And I don't know, it's a really cool story. I've always known my mom is a good singer with this soul in the way that she sings. And I said this before, and I hope I don't screw this up. I always said that the reason I got into music was because of my mom. The reason I got into music was because of my mom. The reason I decided to perform was because of my dad. The reason I fell in love with music was because of my brother. So my family has been very, very influential on me. And there's a couple of other points I just want to make before I go into the episode. I want to give a lot of credit to my mom because she is an amazing singer and she did a lot of cool things. And she still does to this day. She's still recording music to this day. So kudos to mom. But, there's a couple of definitely honorable mentions was my Uncle Paul, which, I never got to hear him play much, but he was well regarded as a keyboard player back in those days, and my Uncle Paul definitely played a lot, and he was in a number of groups, and I'd really like to shake his brain and trying to get some of those stories up, because there was some amazing stuff that happened in those days, and I would actually like to capture it on the podcast. I just, Uncle Paul's one of my favorite guys of all time. Just the one of the most stand-up people I know. And then my Uncle Junior, who passed away, I mean, he played with Mom a lot too, but he was in a lot of bands as well. I only know him from when he was playing bass in my mom's band in the 80s, and that was really my first introduction to my uncle Junior, or Uncle Bill. He was just I just remember the way he played bass was really how I envisioned a bass player to sound. He was just so smooth, just so damn smooth. And he had he also had a voice to him that just, it was this really low bass of a voice. And oh man, just when he sang in the band in the 80s with my mom, when, you know, all three of them sang, and my uncle Junior, Uncle Bill, he only sang the occasional song, but I always look forward to when he sang, because I really liked that baritone that he had. It was just phenomenal. And then there's also my Uncle Mike, who was a drummer, and I have never had the opportunity to hear him play or anything. There's no recordings. All I have are stories about my Uncle Mike and how he was this phenomenal drummer. So I think you can see where the musical gene comes from with Todd and I. Like, there's a lot of music in the family. I mean, that doesn't even include the other side, but there's tons of performers. I mean, Uncle Ronnie was a musician for years as well. I understand my Aunt Patsy also sang in some capacity. I don't know the stories there. And I think my grandfather, Mom's dad, also sang to some extent. So there's just tons of music in the family. But I want to focus on Mom, because I actually got a chance to talk to her, as I do, and I got to capture it on this podcast. So I really want to see what you guys think of this podcast, this episode. I really want some feedback on this one. I want everyone to share, like, you know, share it on your Facebook, share it everywhere. I just want people to hear this, because I want people to get to know my mom. And I thought this was a fitting, hey, check out, you know, you know, if you think I have any kind of talent in any sense of the word, I have nothing compared to this lady. So kudos to Mom, and here she is. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome everybody to the Sean Geek Podcast. This is your host, Seanorama, and on this week's episode, we're going to go back in time, discuss how Seanorama from Dome got his beginnings, and it was based on his mom and his dad. But we got his mom on the show today, and we're going to talk about how Sean got involved in singing and where that inspiration came from, and it came from Mom. We have Mom on the line. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You're going to be weird. This is awesome.
I know. This is weird.
So, yeah. So, these podcasts, Mom, are just conversations about stuff. So, I've alluded to your career in the past as a singer, one of the great singers back in the Maritimes and all this sort of stuff. So, I kind of wanted to, because you're Todd and I, your other son and I, mm-hmm. are part of the scene here in Winnipeg right now, and mm-hmm. we're kind of learning what it's like to be in the scene and all this, because we're kind of new to this whole thing, and I kind of wanted to know what the scene was like back in your day, back in Moncton, and kind of how it worked and sort of things like that. So the first question I had was it thriving? Was there music like every night? Was it just on the weekends? Was there a lot of bands? Can you kind of give me a general idea what the scene was kind of like back in Moncton back in the day?
Well, back then it was all live bands, of course. And I started actually when I was 13 years old. I was well chaperoned, and I used to sing in nightclubs. I did everything from rock and roll to jazz to blues, anything like that, is whatever. I had no particular genre of music. And it was fun. Like I said, it was live bands. It was sometimes jam sessions, concerts, things like that. And it was a really fun era.
So, like, how often did you go out and perform?
It was usually every weekend.
Oh,
sometimes,
that often?
Yeah, and sometimes in the middle of the week, let's say on a Wednesday.
Okay.
You know, and yeah, a lot of practices, of course, in between.
So,
which was fun.
So can you walk me through like what a practice was like? This is all stuff I wanted to ask you before. I've just never really asked you. So how did you when you went to a practice, did you practice before practice to say these are the five songs you need to learn for next practice? And then you guys get together? Like how did you guys do that?
Yeah, we usually had, I had so many numbers that I needed to learn. Maybe bring in three numbers and I would learn the songs and that, and then the guys knew the numbers that we had to do, so they did the music part and they would do their part, and then we'd get together, and then mind you, we might do a song like 10 times in the night to get it right.
Yeah.
But it was a fun thing.
So who decided the music? Was it like collaboration of all, you know, or how, like who decided what, I guess?
Well, actually in one of the groups I was in, it was usually one member, there was always a boss. There was always one band member, maybe it was a drummer.
So was that
one band?
So Mom, was that like with the Pete Porter or Chet, was that like he was like the band leader and
he was the band leader. He's the band leader. He was the one who sometimes chose the numbers maybe, or I chose something, and if everybody was okay with it and stuff like that. And then with other groups it was maybe somebody else who was, you know, the leader. It was never me.
So was that kind of common back then that there would be like, was the band leader the one who kind of put the band together too as well? Like,
yeah, well, yeah, somebody would, I always, whoever I was with, they were looking for a female singer, and they were very actually rare in those days. There weren't that many female singers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was not like today. I mean, there wasn't that many. So, it was said I did every kind of genre of music, you know, going because I enjoyed singing. So I did whatever, nightclub stuff, cabaret, like whatever was popular at the time. Rock and roll was in, of course.
Oh yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, and then there were, you know, then there were this thing with Top 10 Plus that they had in Moncton at the time. It was a TV show, and all the people dancing on TV, and you were there as a guest.
So was it like a American Bandstand?
It was exactly like that, but in, of course, in our little town.
Yeah. So how did, see, these are all questions I've never really asked before. I just knew they just kind of happened. So how did you guys get on, so what that show was called, Top 5?
Top 10 Plus.
Oh, Top 10. So
yeah.
How did you guys actually get on that show? Did they approach you? Did you approach them and ask to be on the show? Or like, how did that happen?
Well, yeah, they approached, you know, sometimes they approached you or whoever the leader of the band was would go and, you know, get venues like that to go play at just to promote yourself, right? Promote the band. And, but this was a very popular, bandstand type of thing.
Yeah.
And, it was something to promote you.
So was this in Moncton?
Yeah, it was.
And always filmed at the same place, or?
Yes, it was.
And what?
It was always.
And what was the name of the place? Like, is it a place I would know?
Well, it was. It was. No, it was at a TV station.
Oh, was that a TV station? Okay.
It was at a TV station. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Was it CBC or was it? Or was
well, it was called CKCW at the time.
Oh, CKCW. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And then we went on a supper club. They had a supper club. It was a TV show that had at like 5:30, and they called it supper club because it was at that time.
Yeah.
And so we were on that a few times.
Cool.
Yeah.
So was the supper club, was it just like an intermission thing? So they'd kind of do the news and then they'd have like a outro music thing before the commercial, or was it actually like you'd play for like 5 or 10 minutes?
Yeah, they had the news, and then, they had a, you know, breaks, and then, of course, they always had a band or whoever, and they would say, you know, coming up shortly, we have this group, whatever, and then introduce us, and then they were there.
So both those TV shows, was that with the Blue Notes, or was that with Pete Porter, or was that...
It was with Pete Porter.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember that we had. I don't remember if the Blue Notes. Maybe the Blue Notes was with the, on the Top 10 Plus. I'm really not sure.
I'm just going to.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm just going to explain here. So, Mom was in a band called the Pete Porter Jet, which was Pete Porter was the drummer, right, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
And then in that group, Uncle Paul was in that group, if I recall,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then with the Blue Notes, who was in that group with you from the family?
Well, the very first Blue Notes was with Gary Humes on drums.
Gary Humes, yeah.
And
Gary Humes is a drummer.
He was a drummer.
Oh, I didn't realize. I just assumed he was a guitar player. Okay.
No. And he was the best drummer in Moncton, actually. After Leo Dueron, who... he was with the Brunswick Playboys, which was another group.
Yeah. They put a record out too, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Because I think you guys had it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's right. I didn't even realize they're from New Brunswick, but I guess with that name, it should have been obvious.
But
I just
Playboys.
Assumed there was some band record that you guys had, and they're from Vegas or something.
No.
Oh, man.
So anyway, Gary was a drummer, then okay. Bob Race was the lead guitar, yeah. And then usually had a second guitar, and there was Leo Budrow, and then there was, we had different people at different times, but I think originally it was Larry Melanson.
Oh, Larry Melanson, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he would, yeah, so I went there just to audition. Actually, Paul... My brother-in-law.
In-law, yeah.
Your uncle.
Yeah.
I was upstairs singing with my brother. He was playing the guitar and I'm singing and he could hear me and he asked my mom.
What, with Ronnie?
No, it was with Bill.
Oh, with Bill, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he asked my mom if I could go and because he was with the group, if I would go,
that must have been awkward. Okay, you have to walk through that. Like, were they... No, my daughter's not. What did they say?
Well, he asked my mom if I could, he played in a band and he liked my voice and he said, do you think that I could, that she, you know, could come and just audition with the band that I'm with? He said, I promise that I'll get her home safely and whatever. And I was 13. So,
okay, was he married to Matan Carroll at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, anyway, I went and auditioned, and lo and behold, I just started singing with them.
That was with the Blue
that
Notes.
That was the Blue Notes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the Blue Notes split up later on, and then they... got back together with different people, but then I was not with them anymore, and then started with the Pete Porter Orquette. So that was fun. So I was with them for quite a few years.
Oh, okay. So then Paul was in the Blue Notes, and then he went to
Pea Porter. And then with the Pea Porter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, and then actually Bill, my brother, your uncle,
yeah.
he was with the group too.
So he was with the Pea Porter, but he was
yes.
Okay.
For a while.
And was
yeah.
he was playing guitar in Pea Porter? Or was he playing?
Yes,
bass?
He played the strum.
Like the rhythm.
Yeah, the rhythm. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
That's dated, but anyway.
See, I grew up knowing him just as the bass player guy.
But that only happened later in life.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's a lot of memories there. But I've been with many different little groups here and there. But I mean, those are just they were just little short stints. But yeah, it was a fun era. It's a fun time. I think growing up in the '60s was great. The music was great. It still is.
How active was this? Like how many in Moncton? How many bands were there? Are we talking like a dozen bands? Or are we talking about like dozens of bands?
Oh, well, no. There was I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 bands. There were small bands, but these bands were big, like they were well known.
Yeah.
Like with the Gemstones and the Saxons and Pea Porter, and these were well known bands, and they were good. And sometimes they'd have an evening where they had maybe all these bands playing, one after the other.
Like on one bill.
Sometimes they just had a fundraiser for something, and all these bands would show up. And they did have a fundraiser, kind of a memorial thing for the drummer in the Brunswick Playboys. He was killed in a car accident.
Okay.
And he was the best drummer, and then it was Gary. So when they had a big fundraiser for that, and we were all, there to do our bit, and it was fabulous. Like, my gosh, we had a nice crowd and to support that, and it was great. We did a few fundraising for things like that, for charities and stuff like that.
Well, it's always that's always a good thing. I've done
I've done a few
myself. Those are always seem to be better crowds or more receptive audience for those types of shows.
Yes, there is.
Yeah,
a lot of support.
Cool.
Mm.
So I can't remember if I told you this before, but I had posted on our Dome page quite some time ago. I had posted one of the videos that you had done, not music, whatever, you singing or whatever, and I'd posted it on the Dome page to say, hey, this is if you like my voice.
Oh.
Then you'll definitely like this voice because it's way better than mine. And I'd posted it on there, and actually, it got a lot of action.
Maybe they were just being nice because I'm your mom.
Nope, that wasn't why. No, even Ole, like our drummer, like he pointed out, like, wow, your mom can sing. And then right away, he's like, okay, we're getting her in the studio, and she's going to sing backgrounds on something. Like, you have to have her on there. He was all excited because he actually, even though he's a metalhead and all that stuff, he does appreciate good music.
Oh, that's sweet.
Good music, yeah. He was.
Well, when you're in the music industry, you do appreciate all genres of music. There's your opera, and then there's jazz, and then there's blues, and then there's metal, and it's all music. It's whatever makes you happy.
I think you told me stories ages ago about all that stuff, and I'd never been in a scene before because I was just in that band with Todd before and Dad, mm-hmm. and it was just cover band. So you're not in a scene, you're just playing. But what I'm doing now, it's way more interactive. All the bands like really talk to each other. It's like a community, and it's incredibly supportive.
Yes. And it was like that. It was like that in my day too.
Oh, I bet you it was.
Oh yeah, everybody like was supportive of each other, and it was great. And I'm glad to see that they do that today too. And you come from that because we're all musically inclined in my family on my side.
Yeah, thanks.
And
thanks for passing something on to me and Todd.
This you're very welcome.
This is pretty awesome.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, John.
I have to say, on Friday there when we played, I've never seen Todd so loose on stage. It's a big shit-eating grin on his face.
Well,
I'm glad
that he's enjoying it.
Oh my God, it was brilliant. And there was I'm just bringing this up because this is Todd. But there was a point of the show Oli really put this together. He said he wanted to make sure we showcased everybody. And then Alex said, well, why don't you take a song for each of us to introduce. I was just going to introduce everybody at the beginning of one song and be done with it. But he said, well, why don't you take a song here and that'll be Todd, and take a song here and this will be Oli. And so when there was one song where in the beginning it's just Oli and Todd, just the rhythm section, and they're playing and Alex and I are doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I introduced Todd and said, this is my brother Todd, he's a monster on bass, blah blah blah. And then I walked off to the stage that Alex is on, just to give Todd the stage. And he started playing and the crowd went nuts. It was so cool.
Oh, that's
and then
good.
It got him going even more, and it was it was one of those moments like, oh.
He seems to be enjoying it.
He definitely is.
Very much.
He definitely is. So, was this painful or what?
Well, no, it's just like, I guess it was fun, to reminisce a bit. I mean, it's a lot of years have gone by, but, I have a lot of great memories, and you guys are going to accumulate your own memories, too.
Well, exactly.
And I will be leaving something behind for you guys, which is kind of nice, too.
Yeah.
And my granddaughters.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah.
My great-grandchild, soon to be.
That's right.
So that's all cool.
Yeah, it's all cool. So would you want to do this again?
Oh, sure, why not?
See, it wasn't... Yeah, I just try to be more conversational and just ask a couple of questions and let you go. Just you can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's all Todd and I do. Like, the last two episodes that we did was just Todd and I just shooting the shit.
Well, there you go.
Pretty much all it was. We talked about...
Well, I listened to you too, it was great.
Oh, did you listen to it? Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I did.
Sure I did.
It was
I went on there and listened
silly,
to it.
It was silly, but it was fine. Yeah. It was just, we were just talking. So that's what my podcast is about, is just, here's what I'm thinking about today. It's nothing.
That was surprising that you asked me to be on. I thought, what are we going to talk about?
So if there's something you want to talk, like, we can do this again. If there's something else you want to talk about, I wouldn't mind, every once in a while, maybe going back, talking about those old days, but maybe we could touch on some of the other groups you'd been in over the years too. And that was my mom. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I cut a little bit out at the end because I don't want to spoil anything that's going to come afterwards, but I think we are going to try to add another episode in there, just a few other stages that we could probably talk about. So thanks for joining the podcast, and always remember, there's always a bigger fish.